Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to check in with the American Legion Department of Minnesota and meet the team caring for our Gold Star families. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, almost 30 people a day are killed in drunk driving crashes. That's one person every 50 minutes. The Minnesota National Guard relies on the health and fitness of its soldiers and airmen to achieve success. That's why it is important to have a plan in place if you decide to drink alcohol. Rideshare apps like Uber and Lyft are an efficient and affordable way to avoid having to drive while impaired. If that doesn't work for you, be sure to have a sober driver on call to take you home. And if all else fails, be prepared to sleep on a couch or floor. That's a better alternative than spending the night in jail. If you have to ask yourself if you're okay to drive, you already know the answer. Please don't drink and drive.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said earlier, we're going to check in with the American Legion Department of Minnesota, and joining me now is Mark Dvorak, who is the Department or State Commander of the Minnesota American Legion. Commander Dvorak, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, Tom, thanks for having me. I just wanted to mention right one thing real quick. You know, some people sleep in on their Saturday mornings, and I'm up way before 6 o'clock a.m., getting ready to listen to Tom Lyons, Minnesota Military Radio on KCHK 95.5 FM out of New Prague. So that's how I spend my mornings with you, Tom, every Saturday.
Yeah, and the owner down in New Prague will love it that you gave him a little shout-out. So you have to say hello to Tom for me.
Yeah, he appreciates that, and he appreciates you, too, and the good work you do.
Mark, we've had an extraordinary relationship because you've been the state commander for 2 years instead of one. Seems that nobody knew we were going to get involved in a pandemic, and because of that, you couldn't have your state convention last year, and so you were sentenced to 2 years instead of one.
That is correct, Tom, and it's been a real challenge at times, but I've always been an optimist, and things have really turned around here for all our programs going into the spring and summer here, so it's been wonderful, and I get to work with such great Americans all the time, so I have no complaints.
Well, and Mark, a lot of things happened on your watch. There was a little change to the Legionnaire, which is the paper that goes out on a monthly basis for the American Legion, and it's refreshed and upgraded, and it looks just terrific. That's been a great development, hasn't it?
Yeah, bringing Tim Eggstrom on board after Elza Don was a great move, even though, you know, when he was in the Army, he was with the 82nd Airborne, and he jumped out of airplanes, and to do the kind of work he does is pretty special. So we're very fortunate and lucky to have Tim. He's very good at what he does, and he loves it. He loves working with veterans and interviewing veterans and keeping track of all the legislative stuff that's going on right now. Yeah, he's just wonderful.
And Commander, I'm looking at the May edition of the Legionnaire, and there's some fantastic articles in there. There's one up top where we're talking about veteran suicides and everybody's efforts to try to corral that and lower the numbers so that we get help to the veterans that need it before it's too late. That's been a big initiative the last couple of years, hasn't it?
Yes, it has, Tom. And, you know, when I, you know, decided to run for state commander, that was one thing I considered. You know, I'm not familiar with all that goes on with these veterans in need, but I reached out to a group that I could maybe raise money for, which is the Wounded Warriors Guide Service here in Minnesota, which that's what they do. They reach out to disabled veterans, veterans in need that need to just get out of their environment for a while and to go fishing, hunting, and camping for up to a week time period. And so that's been part of my project for the last 2 years because it takes a lot of different agencies and a lot of different people to figure this out, and we haven't figured it out yet.
Well, Mark, one of the things we've been talking about for 2 years, is, and especially during the pandemic, is buddy checks. And I think from our conversations, it sounds like those have been pretty darn important. Check in on all our fellow Legionnaires and our veterans and see how they're doing and make sure that they're taking care of themselves.
That's correct, Tom. And the National Commander really hit hard on that when we first shut down here last March with the nationwide and statewide buddy checks. And we had a couple of people that stepped up right away, you know, via Zoom and just organized these almost every other day, weekly buddy checks where anybody could call in on their phone and just talk to other veterans or other Legion family members. And certainly we encouraged all our posts to actually call especially your elderly veterans that don't feel comfortable going out. They primarily stayed home during the lockdowns. And I know at my home post in New Prague here, that was very successful. People came back later on and mentioned that was so important. Like, we have several fathers and son, you know, members at our post, and the younger son would come up to me and says, "Mark, that was pretty awesome of you guys to call my dad or just to reach out to make sure everything was okay." So that was very successful.
We're speaking with Mark Dvorak, the American Legion Department Commander on Minnesota Military Radio. Mark, I want to get back to this Legionnaire for one more article. The lead article this month states that Minnesota is to get 3 new veterans homes. And a couple of years ago, the state legislature approved some funds for it. And now the federal VA came through with a grant. It's pretty exciting that we're going to have some new homes.
Yes, it is, Tom. And, you know, that's at the tune of $80 million with 198 additional beds. And one's in Bemidji, Montevideo, and then in Preston. So I'm sure the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is certainly in the planning stages for all of this. And it's very exciting for everybody that visits our veterans' homes and sees the need out there for these veteran homes, you know, in good locations throughout the state here.
Well, and I think the one of the big reasons for having those homes all over Minnesota is so that if our veterans do have to go to a veteran's home, they can be in one that's closer to their relatives so they can come and visit. So that's pretty important.
Yes, it is, Tom. And the thing is, our different districts, you know, we have 10 districts in the state here for the American Legion. And I know the district that I belong to, the 3rd District, they were out at Hastings this past week. They're able to go back into the veteran homes now. So in some of these areas, the veterans that want to help these veterans home, they have to travel too far to get to a veteran's home or so that'll be more conducive for some of these other districts to help these veterans' homes, and that's important to the Legion. We stay on top of that with our local districts and the different veterans' homes that we now have in the state.
And, Commander, those homes will be built by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and as the Department Commander of the American Legion, one of your jobs is to serve on the Commander's Task Force, which is made up of the 9 veteran service organizations that are federally chartered. And every year during the legislative sessions, one of the main things that the Commander's Task Force does is urge the legislature to fully fund the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs so that they can take care of our veterans. And I know it's legislative season now. You guys have been working on that too.
Yeah, it's been extremely busy for some of our Legionnaires, to say the least. You know, we have a legislative chair in the American Legion, and he's been on your program, and, you know, thank you for having him on, and that's Bob Hart. And he has, I think, 3 other people that work with him on this, well, along with Tim Ekstrom, our communication director. But they stay on top of this stuff. And they basically find people that are willing to testify, and certainly our adjutant, Mike Mux, has been very involved with that. So they just sort of let me know what's going on, and if they need me to do anything, or if we need to contact our Legion people throughout the state and have them contact their representatives, because there's been a few hot issues this time, Tom, And we still have no idea where some of this stuff is going to end up. But, you know, they've been the experts on this, and I rely on them to inform me of what's going on.
Very good, Commander. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to speak more with Mark Dvorak, who is the Minnesota American Legion Department Commander on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking with Mark Dvorak, who is the Minnesota American Legion Department Commander on Minnesota Military Radio. He's a retired United States Air Force veteran, retired as an accountant, life member of the American Legion, Vietnam Veterans of America, DAV, and an honorary member of the Jewish War Veterans. Mark, Commander, how did you get to be an honorary member of the Jewish War Veterans?
Well, I tell you what, you know Lou Michaels, of course. He's the commander of the Jewish War Veterans, and they had a yearly dinner that they invited me to last October when we could get together, and that was at Mancini's in St. Paul. And then he gave me a call the next day, and he says, Mark, you're a member of the Jewish War Veterans for 5 years, and I guess the eligibility is for any veteran, and I did not know that. So Lou Michael signed me up, and I'm very proud of that because they're a great organization.
Well, Commander, next time you see him, let's get him on the show so he can tell us all the great things they're doing over there. But, Commander, I want to get back to the pandemic. You're in office for a second year because you couldn't have your convention last year, and so you've had to do double duty. But things are starting to open up. Can you give us an update on American Legion activities?
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to. Yeah, so since February, you know, we've had state functions planned. So we all got together as the American Legion family in February and March. That was in Painesville and then one in La Crescent. And the posts are busy having various functions. And the commander, or the national commander, Oxford, was in Minnesota from the 5th through the 10th. And we traveled. We were in St. Paul for a couple of days. And then we ended up, our last stop was at Detroit Lakes. So we went to 3 posts every day. We went northwest, and he flew out of Fargo that following Saturday. So that was a wonderful experience, being with the national commander again. And then they're having different ROTC banquets now, and that's been wonderful. In fact, May 6th, I was at a ROTC scholarship award in Mankato, and I ran into one of your people that you probably know from Minnesota Military Families Foundation. Tim Kennedy was there, and I had a great discussion with him.
General Kennedy, glad to see him out there.
Yeah, so we sat at the same table, and my wife and I and his wife, and we had a great conversation. But it is great. You know, I just got done with the veterans turkey hunt up at Camp Ripley, and we had a good turnout up there, and these disabled veterans, the first day of hunting, they shot 10 turkeys, or they said 10 pounds before 10 o'clock in the morning, so I was able to get my picture taken with some of them. So yeah, and we're just busy moving forward. There's things going on every day now with the American Legion and the Post, so it's good.
Well, very good, sir. That's a lot more activity than we were able to do a year ago, and I'm glad to see that everything's getting back up and we're getting post-pandemic. We get that behind us, put it in the rearview mirror, and have done with it. Now, Commander, we've got Memorial Day coming up in a few weeks. Are we going to be able to resume some activities that day?
Well, for sure, they are planning in-person speeches at the different Legion functions, and I'm sure, as you well know, last year, Tom, when we talked, that our honor guards were still going out to the cemeteries, even last year, and doing the social distancing, wearing the masks. So all that is going on this year for sure, and I know I've heard from a few posts that are going to have a parade, and with the current guidelines, they're able to do that. And they're going to have, you know, a public or invite the general public to have a Memorial Day ceremony. So, yeah, we're moving forward with this. It's really refreshing to see. People are excited.
So, Commander, your home post down in New Prague, is that post open? And I know you've got a big room down there that's available for rent and things. Are we getting back to normal?
Yes, we are, and it's good to see because, you know, we don't have gambling in our building. We don't have a full-time bar. We don't have a restaurant. So we depend on functions such as a wedding, a conference. And, yeah, we're back having, you know, a popular thing right now is this gun bingo where 200-300 people get together from these sporting groups. And they do raffles for guns and all this other stuff. So we've had several of those since we've been able to open back up, and it's going real well. I think we're going to survive with that big ballroom there. We have since 1919 when the original structure was built, and with the loans and the grants, you know, I think we're good to go, and I think a lot of the other posts are doing well, too, right now.
Very good, sir. We're speaking with Mark Dvorak, the Minnesota American Legion Department Commander on Minnesota Military Radio. Commander, we're coming down to the end of your second year. You've got some elections coming up for new state leadership. Can you tell us when that will happen and where?
Yes, the state convention will be in Redwood Falls, and that's the 15th through the 17th of July. And basically, the convention in July is the business of the American Legion. And I'm proud to say that our different committees, they kept doing all their work via Zoom or however they could get it done here the last probably 6 months to 8 months. And, you know, we've got our police officer of the year coming, hopefully to say a few words. He'll get his award. The firefighter of the year will be coming. The state oratorical winner, that was actually in person, our contest in February in Anoka, and we had four great contestants that showed up, and she hopefully will come and say a few words, and our Eagle Scout of the Year will be there, and, you know, we've got several thousand dollars of scholarships that are going to be given out for our different committees. So it's just really, really a good feeling to know that we're back doing what we're supposed to be doing, and that's being involved with our community and supporting our youth and our police officers and our firefighters. And, yeah, it's good, Tom.
Very good, Commander. And I think that you've had a two-part Commander's Project the last couple of years. You told us about the Wounded Warriors Guide Service. What else have you accomplished in your 2 years in office?
Yeah, the other part of my project is Legionville up in the Brainerd area. And I'm happy to say that, you know, my project for this year, of course, all the funds have been paid out from last year already to those two organizations. But my goal was $40,000. This year, and even with the shutdown, I'm well over 60,000 right now, and with 2 months to go, I bet you I'm going to get probably another 20,000-30,000. So that is wonderful news. And Legionville, we are going to have our school patrol and our bus safety training in the summer, and we're up to 300 kids right now that are already registered to come to Legionville this summer. And that's in conjunction with the highway patrol, and everything is a goal there, and it's great to see.
A return to normal even for Legionville. Good work, Commander. Commander, we only got about a minute left. You're coming down to the end of your second year in office. Any final thoughts for our listeners about the American Legion here in the state of Minnesota?
Yeah, just, you know, the one thing I found out, especially when we had to close things down last summer, is our committees are very passionate, especially baseball. They wanted to go to the very last minute before we were sort of forced to cancel baseball last year. But our all-time high in teams was in 2019 at 366 teams for the state of Minnesota. We are up to 377 teams this year. That's an all-time high, and we're the number one state as far as Legion baseball teams, so that is wonderful to see. But I guess in closing here, Tom, I just want to thank you for your extraordinary commitment to our reserve forces here in the state of Minnesota and our veterans and their families. And a personal thank you from me on behalf of the Minnesota American Legion for allowing several American Legion family members to be on your program the last year or so. I really do appreciate that because we do tremendous work. And I'm so proud of all the people out there that have done this work the last year especially.
Thank you, Commander, and I've enjoyed talking to you and all your people, and I'm sure that even though you're going to be retired as the state commander, we'll have you back on the show and talk about you're not going to retire altogether. You'll still be busy. We'll have you back.
Yes. Once you're in the American Legion, you're in forever. That's the way it goes.
Commander, thanks for joining us today, and all the best to you, sir.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. Bye.
That was Mark Dvorak, the Minnesota American Legion Department Commander on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to meet the team caring for our Gold Star families. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On this segment, we're going to talk about the Survivor Outreach Services. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
More than 500,000 Americans have been captured and turned as prisoners of war since the American Revolution. Prisoners of war have bravely endured the loss of the very freedom they have fought to defend at the hands of their captors. We take time to remember and pay respect to the prisoners of war who, through circumstances of war beyond their control, have been held captive by enemy forces. They have endured one of the greatest challenges one can face, the loss of personal liberty. Let us vow never to forget the sacrifices of our prisoners of war and their families have made for our freedom. Their courageous efforts have helped build the strong foundation we have today, which continues to drive us forward.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. We're going to have a new feature on Minnesota Military Radio starting this week, and each week we've got a couple of guest hosts that are going to be joining us. And today we have a guest host who is retired from the Minnesota National Guard as the State Command Sergeant Major. His name is Doug Wortham. Doug, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. It's great to be back and be a part of the Minnesota Military Radio program.
Well, I'm excited to hear your interview coming up, so please get after it.
Yeah, absolutely. So as Tom mentioned already, this segment we're going to be speaking with the support coordinator for the Minnesota National Guard Survivor Outreach Services. Her name is Amanda Schwarzkopf. And she's been here for the last 2 years serving the families of the fallen. And Amanda is a central Minnesota native. She's got a background in nonprofit social services. Amanda, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, thanks so much for this opportunity.
Yeah, we're so glad that you're able to join us today and share some additional information. And before we really dive into all of that, I'd like to just hear a little bit about you. You've got a pretty long history of doing things in the nonprofit world. Can you share a little bit about what you've been doing?
Yeah, so I started out even right in high school doing some youth service work, some mentorship with at-risk youth. Went on to college with a bachelor's degree from St. Cloud State in community psychology. After that, I worked in some victim service roles, some community outreach and community education work that I've done, and all of which kind of led me to checking out the Survivor Outreach Program about 2 years ago, and doing some case management for that, which is, you know, something that I was pretty familiar with from my previous work. So.
Okay, great. I'm a fellow St. Cloud State graduate as well. So you had your time, you've done things with the education coordinating. At what point in time did you really decide that, hey, you want to start working with or striving towards getting into this Families of the Fallen support, the Survivor Outreach Services? How did that transition really happen? I mean, obviously, you've done this nonprofit work. You've had this time where you've been working with others, high-risk or at-risk youth. But where does that transition come?
Well, I think partly personally for me, as well as professionally, has led me to be fairly comfortable with grief and bereavement work. It's something that a lot of people don't get comfortable with. I tell people what I do for a living. They're like, oh, that's such a hard job. You must be, just exhausted. But it really is something that can be very rewarding. And, just being able to serve these families. My mom was a war orphan. Her father was MIA, declared dead in World War II. He was a Navy gunner. And I know from talking with my mother and with my grandmother, what that was like for the families then when they didn't have any support at all. They got their casualty notification and then they were pretty much on their own. Finding out about this program and then getting the opportunity to work, with the survivors of these families and getting them the services that they deserve for their sacrifice is really pretty amazing.
Thank you for sharing that. I was going to ask you if you had some type of a nexus family-wise to the military and to the fallen here. We are speaking with Amanda Schwarzkopf here, the support coordinator for the Minnesota National Guard Survivor Outreach Services. All right, so Amanda, obviously then you have this family nexus with your mom being a war orphan. So tell us, how does doing this job, providing the support that you do, what does that really mean to you?
I think that, our soldiers and their families, and we provide services to, it's a one Army program. So regardless of their duty status, their component, if they're guard, reserve, active duty, they've made a commitment to our country and a commitment to our communities of service. And the families serve too. And it's really an honor, I think, as support coordinators for us to be able to continue that Army relationship with those families after their service member is gone.
And Amanda, you serve the families of the fallen, and often we hear the term of a Gold Star family. Mm-hmm. And so can you talk to us a little bit about what those two definitions are and, how they relate, or why do we use the term families of the fallen versus the Gold Star families term?
Yeah, absolutely. Most people are really familiar with the term Gold Star, and they often believe it applies to any military family that has lost a service member. But it really is for anybody that dies in a theater-related death. So it's somebody that is deployed on active duty. If they die during their service at that time, then their family is eligible for what's called the Gold Star PIN. And that gets them some additional benefits and services because a survivor outreach is a one Army program. And we are serving survivors regardless of their service member's duty status at the time. We prefer the more inclusive families of the fallen term because we will provide service and events and resources to family members or those that define themselves as family, regardless of their service member's status at the time of their death. So that includes, M-Day deaths, active duty for training, active duty for state assistance, any of those duty statuses at the time of death, will provide that whatever resources are available to the whole community, will provide to the survivors.
And you've been speaking about or mentioning the term the One Army Program.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean that you specifically will only focus on members who served in the Army?
Well, each branch does have their own survivor support coordinators. Navy has their Gold Star coordinators, Marines and Air Force and Coast Guard also have their survivor services. We are specifically, Survivor Outreach Services is a Army contract program. I am specifically on a contract with the National Guard here in Minnesota. And
all right. I want to get into a little bit more of the services that you do provide in a minute, but we do have to take a short break, and we'll be right back with Amanda Schwarzkopf. Please stay with us. We'll be right back on Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your guest host for this segment, Doug Wortham, and we've been speaking with Amanda Schwarzkopf. She's the support coordinator for the Minnesota National Guard Survivor Outreach Services, where she's been serving for the last 2 years, serving the families of the fallen. So, Amanda, before we went into break, we were talking about that One Army program, and obviously you're working for the Minnesota Army National Guard. But can you tell us again, just because someone may not have been serving in the Army, you're still able to help or get those families of the fallen connected with the right resources. Is that right?
Absolutely. And, one of the unique things about Minnesota is that, we don't have any real presence of any of the other branches represented. Like, we don't have, there's some Air Force at Grand Forks that we'll connect with, but there isn't a Navy installation anywhere in Minnesota that Navy families can go and get services for. So we will include them absolutely in all of our outreach if they want to stay connected, so they can get information about some of the events that we do. If we're doing the Military Appreciation Day at the Twins game or something like that, we will absolutely make sure that they're included whenever we can.
So we've got a good idea then of the target, of course, is we're dealing with, we're supporting those families of the fallen. But how did this whole thing come to being, the Survivor Outreach Services?
Survivor Outreach Services was authorized in the 2008 Defense Authorization Act. It really came from a widow named Donna Engelman, was at some function in D.C. And was able to get connected with then Army Chief of Staff General Casey, who knew that she had lost her husband and asked her, how she was doing, how it was going. And she was honest and told him it was terrible, that she had such support and had felt so much outpouring from her husband's unit, from the casualty assistance officer that was assigned to her, and all of that right up until, they were done assigning benefits, the funerals, memorials, unit memorials, all of those were done. And she said that then everybody left and she didn't feel connected to the Army anymore. So they really lobbied hard to get some really significant survivor support available for those families that could do that long-term case management.
So the
Survivor Outreach Services was born. We've got coordinators anywhere there's going to be a military family. So each county in the United States has a support coordinator assigned to it, and every active duty base around the world has support coordinators that will be assigned to cover different areas.
Having that connection is extremely important, I would imagine. Tell us quickly, if you could, what are the services that you're able to provide to families of the fallen?
Mm-hmm. So we do everything from long-term case management, milestone reminders, things like that. That would be things like there's certain changes to benefits that happen when a surviving child turns 16, say, or when they're 18 and they're eligible for some of those education funds, that we track that, even if, you know, they may have been an infant when their mother or father, a soldier died. We will also do just resources, referrals. We keep a handy list of all of the different organizations in our area, Beyond the Yellow Ribbons, Tribute to the Troops. I had just yesterday had a casualty assistance officer reach out on behalf of a father that's looking to put a memorial up on his property to honor his son, because his son is buried in a different state and he can't travel regularly to visit graveside. And so he's just looking for, you know, somewhere to get a bronze fallen soldier battle cross to put out in his yard. So I'm calling around to my other support coordinators, some of the veterans groups in the area, all sorts of different places to resource that for him.
Amanda, we just have about a minute left, and I want to make sure that we're able to provide information about how families of the fallen, how survivors can connect with your program.
So there is a website. It's at armymwr.com, and you can just search Survivor Outreach. That will get you to be able to connect with whoever the local coordinator is. In Minnesota, also, you know, if you stop in, you know, connect with, you know, any of the National Guard armories or down at the headquarters at with casualty operations, they'll also be able to put you in touch. We keep a pretty wide network with the soldiers that are serving in Minnesota. So,
well, Amanda. Yeah. I wish we had more time to talk additional time here about the services and the programs you do provide. But the best place to have families of the fallen go to is armymwr.com to get additional information or stop by one of the local National Guard armories.
Correct. Yes.
Matt, I want to say thank you so much for spending some time with us today on Minnesota Military Radio. And we look forward to chatting with you again when we have some more time. Please stay.
Opportunity and happy Memorial Day.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Amanda Schwarzkopf, the support coordinator for National Guard Survivor Outreach Services.
Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Doug Bly. Doug, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's always a pleasure and an honor.
Doug, I saw an article from a few years back about the Patriot Guard Riders, and I just want to quote from it. It says, the Patriot Guard Riders is a 100% volunteer, federally registered 501c3 nonprofit organization, which ensures dignity and respect at memorial services, honoring fallen military heroes, first responders, and honorably discharged veterans. And it goes on to say that we don't care what you ride or if you ride, what your political views are, or whether you're a hawk or a dove. It's not even a requirement that you be a veteran. Doesn't matter where you're from or what your income is. You don't even have to ride. The only prerequisite is respect. That kind of sums up your organization pretty well, doesn't it?
Actually, the hair standing in my arms right now, Tom, listening to that, because the message is exactly the same 10 years later.
That was pretty good. I think it was... Well, this was assembled by Dan Wilkinson, so he was one of yours. But, Doug, we want to talk a little bit today. It's because of the pandemic and some other things, it's been really busy for the Minnesota National Guard. They've had federal deployments. They've had state call-ups. They've been really busy, and we just had the 3-5 come back from the Horn of Africa, and I know you wanted to chat about that.
Yeah, we were honored to once again be invited by the Minnesota National Guard to be part of the Welcome Home. And really what it is, Tom, is we meet them at the airport with a group of motorcycles, and we put those bikes out in front of the buses on the way in. So as they come in and their families are seeing flags flying and motorcycles running, and it's our honor to bring those buses home. We've been doing that since 2006 and 2007. We started doing escorts for the returning troops, and there's no greater feeling to counterbalance those awful days where we're standing in front of a gravesite to help bring them home. They're safe. They're happy. You know, the children are outside, and even thinking, you know, the conversations we've had in the past, you know, 10 years ago was mostly male and few females on deployment, but now it's a very mixed and diverse group. And there's a lot of dads happy to see their moms home to help out with the kids again. So it's pretty exciting for us to be part of that.
And those welcome home missions, they're your favorites, aren't they, Doug?
They really are. I mean, again, it's our honor to be part of it. And, you know, props out and kudos to the law enforcement agencies that help us, to the fire departments that are standing with the big flags that overlook the overpasses, and, you know, really such a community feeling. And it's just, you know, our honor to be on the point for that. And kudos to all of our riders who are out there, and the flag line members who show up to stand with the flag as well.
And Doug, quickly, if any of our listeners want to become a Minnesota Patriot Guard rider, where do they go and how do they do it?
Pretty simple and straightforward. As you just said earlier, Tom, don't have to be a veteran, don't have to ride a motorcycle. Go to www.mnpatriotguard.org, click join us on the left and have an email address and a zip code. And every week we send you information as to the missions that are going on. And we're honored to be asked by the families and by the military to be part of these days.
Very good, sir. Thanks for joining us today, Doug.
Thank you, Tom. Have a great weekend.
That was Doug Bly from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Commander Mark Dvorak from the Minnesota American Legion, Amanda Schwarzkopf, Doug Bly from the Minnesota Patriot Guard, our guest host, Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we talk about a new VA study aimed at helping vets in pain, and meet another Yellow Ribbon Network. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.